Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Lieutenant General Perry Wiggins, joining us here on In Focus. And we've been talking a lot about what's going on at Fort Riley, and I thought it was kind of interesting as far as the brigades are concerned. Got a lot of folks out there on post right now in terms of that.
Yeah, this is a rare time. You know, in the past 15, 17 years of persistent conflict, it always seemed like Fort Riley had formations deploying somewhere and or deployed. And in this particular case, the 1st Infantry Division has the majority of its brigades on Fort Riley, and the only one that's deploying or in the process of deploying is a portion of the Combat Aviation Brigade. So this is a rare moment for the Central Flint Hills to have all the soldiers out there in Fort Riley home.
And, you know, I know we did a story a few weeks ago on the economic impact of Fort Riley, and having that much population on post right now is good for the local economy here, isn't it?
It's good for the local economy. You know, you have to take, temper that with the fact that the COVID environment's really impacting how much travel people are doing on and off post. But by and large, I think it's helping the economy, the restaurants, have the soldiers here that are patroning their restaurants, and I think that's important. And I don't really know the total impact with the COVID, but I think that soldiers are out there, and you're seeing them during lunchtime in the uniform visiting the restaurants.
Yeah, I just found the economic impact summary. They released it a few weeks ago here, and it was $1.8 billion in 2020, despite COVID. So I thought that was pretty good, and it just goes to show you that how vital Flint, obviously, well, Fort Riley and K-State are.
I tell people all the time, you know, it's 41% to 45% of the Central Flint Hills GDP is produced by the folks inside that wire.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and while we're on the topic of COVID, obviously everything's been impacted by that, and Fort Riley's no different, but it does sound encouraging. We're hearing more about vaccines, and you know, we had the hospital, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO Bob Koppel on this morning talking about, in his voice, it sounded pretty optimistic. He's encouraged by how many people are getting vaccinated, and I know the same is happening on post.
Yeah, I think Fort Riley Irwin Army Hospital and the folks out there are doing a great job of immunizing the soldiers. You know, it directly correlates to readiness, which is their number one priority. So I know that Fort Riley's doing well, getting the soldiers immunized, and I also know that they're helping out with retirees. And if you're above 75 years of age and as a retiree, they're giving them their immunizations. And phase two is going to be if you are 65 to 74, giving immunizations to them as well. So I think the immunization process for the post is going well. Of course, you know, the Army handles it in a draconian way. When you're getting shots, we're pretty good at initiating and giving shots to our soldiers and pretty proficient at it. So yeah, that's great news. I can't wait for my immunization. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in the same boat.
Now, I got a question. If we have a veteran here who's over 70 or so, and they haven't received their vaccine yet, and let's say they're living in Manhattan, Wamego, can they go to the post and get it? Is that a possibility?
If it's a retiree, I think. If it's a veteran, they can go to the VA. The VA has a website, and you can go on there. They have a system as well that they're following based on age. And if he's a certain age limit, he might meet that particular requirement. To be honest with you, Brandon, I haven't studied that as much. But I think if he goes on the VA website, they have a space on there that talks specifically about COVID immunization and how the VA is addressing it. They're doing it similarly to how the Department of Defense is doing the retirees. They're doing it by age.
Okay.
And most vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, it is good to see, and I can't wait to see. Hopefully we get a lot of folks vaccinated and get back to our lives as we used to know it before COVID. I think it's coming.
Absolutely. I can't wait for K-State football. I'm looking forward to the Chiefs whipping the Patriots. It might as well be the Patriots with who they got, but Tampa Bay.
That's right.
New England South.
New England South, yeah. All those folks go to Florida for the winter. Well, I also talk about the legislative bill that I know you've discussed on here before, but it's being introduced. It's the spouse reciprocity bill.
Yes, this is critical. You know, when I first came in the military, a lot of our service members were not married. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 11% were married, if I can remember. Now you have military members, over 60% of them are married, and over 50% of the spouses connected to these military members work. And so we got to work hard here in the state of Kansas to adopt a legislation that accepts licensure and credentials from military spouses that come into our state so we can get them working, because a lot of those households depend upon dual incomes. And so we're working real hard here in Kansas to try to develop legislation that accommodates our military spouses and enables them to take their skills that they come in and get to work. I will tell you, I think it's beneficial for Kansas, as well as we have a whole lot of shortages and a whole lot of skill sets out there that these spouses can really fill and make us a better state.
Yeah, no doubt. I've heard of similar things being introduced in the past in other states, and I just, to me, it sounds like that's a real no-brainer. I mean, you get more people working, contributing to the local economy, and you know, I know there's requirements every job has, but if you can streamline that a little bit, why not do that?
Absolutely. You know, they do it through compacts right now, and those seem to work fairly well, but a lot of skills do not have compacts. And so we're trying to work this to expedite. There is current legislation, but unfortunately, the time on that is long. And in some cases, with the short duration that spouses have here in the state, it's way too long.
All right. Well, that'll be something to watch. Do you know when that has a hearing? Is it coming up anytime soon?
Well, I know it's already been introduced, and they're working it through the process. And so I don't have an update beyond the fact that they are discussing it now.
Okay. Very good. Again, General Wiggins joining us here on In Focus. Just a couple minutes left. We've covered all of our topics. I might just ask you, do you have a score prediction for the game on Sunday? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Chiefs 35, Tampa Bay 21.
35-21.
Ooh, okay. I like it. Yeah. I'm writing you down in my book here, General.
Uh-oh.
You said 35-21.
Well, there you go. That's the first prediction I've given ever, so I don't know how well that's going to go.
I like it. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a day, even though he's got a shell of his offensive line. But
he's had a shell almost all year.
He has, and he's played very well.
Yeah,
he's pretty. No, he's got a lot.
I agree with you. I'm hoping that, like I said, we don't give up the first two quarters and get behind by 20 points, and then try to come back and win. If we can be ahead in the first half, I think we got a great shot of blowing them out.
Well, you know, the Chiefs under Patrick Mahomes have only lost one playoff game ever. It was to Tom Brady when Patrick Mahomes never touched the football in overtime. So, I like our chances, General. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll be there watching it just like all you. So thanks once again for the opportunity, Brandon.
You bet. It's always a pleasure to talk. That'll wrap up our show here for this morning. Coming up tomorrow, we've got Karen Hibbard from Convention and Visitors Bureau, Gary Fike from the K-State Research and Extension here in Riley County. We'll also talk Super Bowl for Flint Hills Breadbasket with Bill Kennedy once again. And Kurt Herman's going to join us for a quick segment to talk about his Chiefs Zeum.
Okay.